We're going to begin with Acts chapter 5, verse 37. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were scattered. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. Verse 39 is what I want to emphasize. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Now go with me to Mark chapter 13, verse 1. And as Jesus went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Read verse 2 again. And Jesus answering said unto them, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this great truth, simple truth, but a very profound truth, that as your people, you are our builder. It's your hands reaching deep within the lives of your people and the things involving your people. And it's your hands that are building. And Father, we thank you for the hope. God, if we can just fathom the depth of that hope, Lord, we thank you for that hope, God. And we honor you for it. And we love you for it, Lord. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus and his disciples are leaving the temple. And it's very obvious from the passage that as they are leaving the temple, the disciples are looking at the temple and the buildings that make up the temple, and they're realizing what a massive structure it really is. It's as if for the very first time, I'm sure they've been to this temple many times, but it's as if for the very first time their eyes are truly open to see just how massive and how strong and how fortified this temple is. And they're very impressed by what they see. And they're very impressed by how massive the temple appears. They're very impressed by how strong, how fortified, how powerful it appears. And they say to Jesus, Master, see what kind of massive stones have been used in building this temple. And see what kind of temple it is. It's a powerful temple. It's a fortified temple. Look at it, Jesus. Look at its strength. Look at its fortitude and see what kind of temple that this is. And when you really look at it, it's as if a false hope is entering into their hearts. They're looking at this temple and they're awestruck and they're marveling at its strength and its fortitude. And it's just, there's a false hope that awakens in their heart. And that false hope is simply this. This temple is indestructible. And as long as this temple is indestructible, we will be indestructible. The nation of Israel will be indestructible. Jesus, what hope this temple brings to our hearts. But Jesus suddenly answers them and he says, do you see these great buildings? Do you see these massive structures that make up this temple? One day very soon they're going to be thrown down and not one stone shall be sitting upon another. It will be in utter ruins. And one of the truths Jesus is conveying is this. What man's hands can build, man's hands can tear down. What man's strength can build, man's strength can tear down. Doesn't matter how strong it may appear. Doesn't matter how fortified it may appear. Doesn't matter how resilient it may appear. If man's strength built it, man's strength can tear it down. You see, much of man's strength went into adding to this temple that Zerubbabel had built. There was a king by the name of Herod, and they called him Herod the Great. And if you know anything about Herod, he was actually a master builder. And he prided himself in the works of his hands. And when he saw Zerubbabel's temple, he saw an opportunity to build something great. He saw an opportunity to build something that was going to add to his enormous ego. So this whole building project regarding this temple was something of pride in his heart. It was one more time, another way to, like the Tower of Babel, lift up my name, lift up my kingdom high in the eyes of the earth. And he built this temple, and actually after he added to this temple, built upon this temple, it became known as not as God's temple, but it became known as Herod's temple. So going back to what I'm saying, one of the truths Jesus is conveying to his disciples is this. Listen, what man's strength can build, man's strength can tear down. No matter how strong and resilient it may appear, if man built it, man can tear it down. And here's the message that was birthed in my heart. I was in a place of prayer and a place of my devotions with the Lord. And as I was reading this, that thought just struck me. You know, what man builds, man's hands can tear down. And the Holy Spirit came upon my heart, and I began to feel the weight of that. I began to feel the despair of that. I began to feel the hopelessness of that. Listen, everyone has things in their life that they consider precious. Everyone has things in their life that they consider priceless. There are things in our life that you just cannot put a price on. They are invaluable. And we desire to build these things, and we desire to see these things grow, and we desire to see these things only become stronger. But if someone is not careful, something in this fallen world can come along and tear it down. Beloved, how many lives have been destroyed because of something someone held priceless in their hearts came crumbling down, and there was no power in the earth that could fix it? And yet, as I was dwelling on this thought, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind Acts chapter 5, verse 39, which says, if God builds something, you can't overthrow it, because then you'll be fighting against God. In other words, what God builds lasts. When God builds something, it will stand forever, because in heaven and earth, there is nothing stronger than God. And you know, when I begin to think about that, a prayer began to fill my heart. God, I want you to be my builder. God, there are things in my life that are so precious. Your hands are the only hands I want building. God, Lord, my marriage with my wife is invaluable to me. You can't put a price on it. My relationship with my kids are invaluable to me. You can't put a price on it. God, the work that you've done in my life are invaluable. They are things that are so precious and priceless to me, you can't put a cost on it. And God, I only want your hands in the mix, building and nurturing and growing these things. Because God, when you build something, there's no power in earth that can tear it down. And I thank God for that. I want to be a man of character. I want to be a man of truth. I want to be a man of integrity. I want my marriage with my wife to be healthy. I want my relationship with my kids to always be going forward and thriving in the good times and the bad times, thriving in the grace of God and the goodness of God, becoming stronger and stronger. Beloved, these are things in my life that are priceless to me. And I don't want any other hands building but God's. Because when He builds something, it lasts. Amen. And what joy, what rest comes when you have the assurance in your heart that you have entrusted these things into the hand of God. And He alone is the one who's building. Thank God for that. And I don't know if you know this, but today is my anniversary. I've been married 12 years. And this morning, my wife gave me a card for my husband, the love of my life. Can't read it to you. But in this card, she bore her heart. And she talked about all the good times, and she talked about all the bad times. She talked about all the days on the mountain. She talked about all the days in the valley. And she just talked about how what made the good times so precious, what made the bad times so precious, is that you were the man God gave me to walk with them through. And I've only been married 12 years. Some of you have been married a lot longer than I have, but I can tell you, we have walked through some very stormy times in our 12 years. But what has made even the dark times, what has brought a song in the night, is God has blessed me with a wife and blessed me with a family to walk through it with. God has. And you know what? I know it's God that has built my marriage. And the reason why I say that is because I shared it before, but I want to share it again. I know the man I was before God came into my life. I was a very violent man, a very abusive man, a very angry man. And I know in my heart that if I didn't have God in my life, I would be divorced and my kids would despise me. But because God has built this man, and God has built this marriage, I have a wife who loves me more than she did the day she married me. And I have kids that absolutely adore their father. And all I can say is, God, thank you. Thank you that you are my builder. You are my builder. You have built my marriage. You have built my relationship with my kids. And I give you all the glory. And there is no other hands I want inside of my marriage, working in my marriage, but the hand of God. And thank you, God. You said, Tim, as long as your heart is toward me, my hands will be there. God is my builder. So the question becomes, how does the strong hand of God build into our lives? How? There's only one answer. By the power of His Word. By the power of His Word. Amen. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Let's read verses 1 through 5. It says, and after 6 days... Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. Let us build 3 tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, there's so much we can talk about in this verse, but there's just one thing that's on my heart. One thing I feel led by the Lord to share today. And that is simply those words. God said, hear him. Let him speak. And listen to what he has to say. And there are 3 truths I want to bring out in this. When God says, hear him, there's 3 truths I want to bring out. When God says, hear him, he is saying, first of all, he's saying, out of all the voices in the world trying to speak into your life, keep your ear in tune with only one. My son's voice. My son's word. There are going to be so many worldly voices that are going to try to speak into your life. There are going to be so many worldly viewpoints that are going to try to speak into your life. But keep your ear in tuned into one place. And that is my son's voice. My son's word. That's where you place your ear. That is where you place the hearing of your heart. Secondly, God is saying, if you have a heart to hear and obey it, His word is going to shape and define everything in your life. That's, you're going to find His word has that power to shape and define everything that's in your life. In a world so marred by sin and deception, having a heart to hear His word will shape and define everything. His word will have the power to shape your life. His word will have the power to shape your marriage. His word will have the power to shape your family. His word will have the power to shape your ministry. His word will have the power to shape your career. It will have the power to shape and mold everything it touches in your life. Nothing else will have the power to shape your life and your marriage and your ministry if you will just hear Him. It's the greatest power in the world. Amen. And thirdly, God is saying, if you have a heart to hear His word, that word will protect you from falling into the deception of a worldly mindset. You know, as soon as Peter sees the glory of God upon the mountaintop, he's so overtaken by what he sees, he slips into a worldly mindset. Wow, isn't that amazing? The glory appears. He's so overwhelmed by the glory, he suddenly says, Jesus, let's make three tabernacles. Let's build three temples, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and let's just entrench our lives here. But ultimately, what God is saying to Peter is simply this. Listen, Peter, there are just some things in this world you don't want to build. And this is one of them. You've fallen in this worldly mindset that's leading you to build something that's totally contrary to my heart and my nature. And Peter, as good as your intentions are, this is just one thing you do not want to build. But yet, if you will keep your heart in tune to His word, His word will be light. His word will be counsel. His word will be a guide that you can bank on, Peter. It will guard you against a worldly mindset. As good as that mindset may appear, it's totally contrary to my heart. Hear Him. You know, some time ago, I went to see a movie. It was a clean movie. I go to clean movies. But in this clean movie, somebody said something about God. And in my heart, I immediately thought, you know what? If I wasn't a Christian and if I didn't know the Lord, that would sound so true. I could see how someone would believe that about God. I can see where they're coming from. I can see the viewpoint they're coming from. And it really makes sense. And then a short time later, I was in a store. I forget where I was, but I overheard a conversation and somebody said something about God. And in my heart, I said one more time to myself, you know what? If I wasn't a Christian and knew the Lord, that would really make sense to me. That really seems like who God is when you just look at the world you live in and what's going on from a human standpoint. That I could easily embrace that as truth if I didn't know God. But suddenly the Holy Spirit rose up in my heart. And God spoke to my heart, and this is what He said. He said, Tim, don't let the world shape your viewpoint of God. Let my word shape your viewpoint of God. Don't let the world tell you who God is and start forming your thoughts and opinions on who God is, because it's so deceived. Sometimes as logical as it may seem, it's still a deceived viewpoint. Don't let the world shape your viewpoint. Let my word shape your view of who God is. And I believe with all my heart, I'm convinced, like never before, Satan, through this world, is fighting hard to paint a misconceived picture of God, and God's people should be strongly grounded in the word of God. Like never before, he's fighting through media and Hollywood and politics to form people's thoughts and views of who God is. And it's very powerful in the earth right now. And more than ever before, God's people should be in His word, because this is who He is. Amen. Hear Him. Hear His Word. Because if you have a heart to hear and obey and listen and be led by the Word, it has the power to shape and define everything in your life. Amen. Hear Him. Beloved, the Word of God is a sure foundation that we can entrust. Those things that are so priceless and precious to our hearts, we can entrust it to the Word of God. Because when it's the Word of God building these priceless things, they'll last through the storms. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 and 27. It says, "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So what Jesus just said is this. Jesus says a house built upon sand will crumble in the storms of life. And beloved, what I want us to realize is sand represents the strength of the flesh. Building upon the sand means I'm building in the strength of the flesh. I'm trying to build something in the strength of the flesh. And what Jesus is saying is this. There are some storms in life that are so strong and so violent that the strength of the flesh cannot stand when they come. That anything built by the arm of the flesh, it will crumble if these storms happen to come along in your life. Listen. I'm going to say it in love and humility, but I'm going to say it in truth. I think about so many marriages that have ended in divorce because the storms of life came and human strength just could not stand up to the storm. I think about so many careers and vocations that have crumbled because the storms of life came and human strength just could not stand up to the storm. I even think about so many ministries built by man's strength that are nothing more than ghost towns today because the storms of life came and human strength could not stand up to the storm. Jesus is saying there are just some storms in life that are so strong that anything built in man's strength, it will crumble. But look at verse 24 and 25. He says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Yeah, the storms are going to come, and they're going to hit hard sometimes. But when the storm is over, that house is still going to be standing. Because it was built upon the rock of my word. And the Lord is saying, when you have a life of loving obedience to my word, what the word builds, the storms of life cannot tear down. Beloved, I want to tell you this morning, the word of God is a safe place to build your life upon. The word of God is a safe place to build your marriage upon. The word of God is a safe place to build the relationships you have with your children upon. Those things that are so priceless to your heart, the Word of God is a safe and sure foundation when the storms come. And they're going to come. But it doesn't matter how strong the storm is, the foundation of God's Word will be stronger. Amen. Now I want to end with this. And this is in regards to my altar call this morning. I do want to give an altar call this morning. And this is in regards to our altar call this morning. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 4. Look at me at verse 35 and 36. Verse 35. "And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And they said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now look with me at verse 35 again. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. So, right from the beginning, Jesus gives them the assurance of his word that you will make it to the other side. You don't know it yet. There is going to come a storm. It's going to be a hard storm. It's going to be a heavy storm. And you're going to find yourself in a desperate place. The storm will bring desperate times. But I'm giving you my assurance now. You're going to make it through the storm. You're going to get to the other side. And you're going to continue to go forward in everything I have for your life. You're going to get through the storm. And beloved, here's the question I want to end with. Are there things in your life that are so precious and priceless that are going through a storm right now? Do you have relationships that are priceless that are in a storm right now? Are there things in your life that God has built that are being tested in storms right now? Is there someone here that can say, Pastor Tim, there is something in my heart that I value as priceless, and right now it is in a storm being hammered by the winds and the waves? Beloved, our altar call is simply going to be this. Lord, there are things that are so priceless in my heart, and it's in a storm. There are relationships that are in a storm, and it's getting hammered by the winds and waves. But yet I have the assurance of your word, that if I'll just cling to your word and hope in your word, we will come out on the other side. And storms are only going to make them stronger. Storms are only going to fortify the things of God. And this morning in the altar, I just need some time just to bring my fears and my struggles and my anxieties and place it before your feet. And say, God, these things that are priceless to my heart, I entrust them to you. And I entrust them to the power of your word. I think the Lord just wants to strengthen people today. He wants to comfort people today. He wants to tell you, I know that's priceless to your heart. I know that's precious to your heart. And I know it's being tested by a storm. But you have the assurance of my word. My promises will not fail you. Be of good courage. Amen. Stand with me this morning. So this is my altar call. Pastor Tim, there are things I value. Things that are priceless. And they're being hit by a storm right now. But this morning, I just need to come and I just need to ask God for faith. I need to ask God for comfort. I just want to get a hold of God and say, God, you're going to be faithful. You're going to be faithful. And these things that are in my heart that are so valuable to me, I entrust them to the faithfulness of your word. Beloved, if that's you this morning, I want you to come. And let's just begin to give them over to the Lord. And let's just begin to trade fear for faith. Battle for a hope in God's faithfulness. And I don't know everybody here this morning. I don't know everybody here this morning. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you've never asked Him into your heart to be Lord and Savior. And maybe you sense in your heart, God, I just need a rock to hold on to. And you would like to come and just invite Christ into your life. I invite you to come now just to join these that are in the altar. So whatever your need is, let's just come and bring it to the Lord this morning. Lord, I want to pray for and with my brothers and sisters that have come to this altar. God, Father, just things in the heart that are just absolutely priceless. You can't put a price upon them. You can't even put words to define how deep, how much they mean to our life. And sometimes, Lord, when these things begin to pass through a storm, God, we can feel the fear and the desperation can try to rise up, Lord. But Jesus, I'm reminded that even in a place that looked desperate, the disciples looked desperate, you are still in the bottom of the ship, sleeping, resting. And it just speaks to us that even in times that seem to be desperate, we can have a rest in God. We can have a rest in the faithfulness of His Word. That my promises aren't going to fail. They're going to see you to the other side of the storm. And Lord, I'm praying the Holy Spirit, only You can do this. This is a supernatural request. It requires a supernatural answer. But I pray everyone that's come to this altar, God, I just pray, Lord, I just pray that they would walk away with a rest in the heart, that the storm may not end tonight. The storm may not end tomorrow. But yet God's Word is greater than the storm. And we will come through the other side. And we'll come through the other side stronger in God. Not in ourselves. Stronger in God. With something deeper in the Lord. I thank You for Your faithfulness, God. I thank You for that, Lord. Just let everyone walk out of here. Whatever storms are raging, and those things in our heart that are being hit so hard by the winds and the waves, Lord, Holy Spirit, come upon them with a peace that surpasses understanding. And let them walk out of here that, God, Your Word is in control. Even in the storms, Your Word is in control, God. And I'm going to come out of this storm with a deeper praise to the faithfulness of our God and a greater testimony to the faithfulness of our God. I just pray that with all my heart. And beloved, just everybody, just keep your head bowed for just a moment. I just want to ask if there's anybody here. You're here because you want to accept the Lord in your heart. You're here because, Pastor Tim, I just need the Lord. If that's you, just raise your hand with me and I'd like to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Everyone look at me. God is our builder. God is our builder. Don't it just make you want to throw your hands up in the air and say, thank God, He's my builder. And what He builds will last. Unless you want to try to fight against God. And I don't recommend you do that. Amen. He is my builder. Amen. Let's close in prayer. If you want to stay around the altar longer, please feel free to do so. You don't have to rush off. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank You. I just thank You for the goodness of Your Word, the faithfulness of Your Word, the power of Your Word. And God, I thank You that even in the storms, Your Word is an anchor, God. Lord, we know in our heart, as Christian people, we know in our heart what man's strength can build, man's strength can tear down. Lord, we don't put our confidence in the arm of flesh. We don't put our confidence in the strength of flesh. Our confidence is that, God, You are our builder. And it's a good word You have for us. It is a good word You have for us. God, You said in Jeremiah 29, I will perform My good word towards you and causing you to come back to this place. God, Your word over our life is a good word. And Father, we thank You for the good promises of God, the sure promises of God, and the power that's in those promises. And God, let every heart just walk out of here just with a renewed confidence in the promises of God. Lord, we love You, and we thank You, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.